It's a Mike Grimm Monday, of course, here on AM 1450 KETE. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football, and of course, sports director for the Minnesota News Network, joins us every Monday. And Mike, a good afternoon. How was the weekend?
The weekend was good. We are the basketball team traveling with the men's basketball team for the Gophers. So the Gophers lost yesterday in Bloomington, Indiana, and will be in East Lansing to play Michigan State on Wednesday. So there's no classes right now at the U of M, so the team decided to stay on the road. So we are still in Bloomington. The team practiced today, and now we're awaiting a flight to head straight to East Lansing, where we'll be for a couple of days, and then Wednesday will be tip time for that game against Michigan State. So it's kind of an interesting travel week here for the Gophers.
Well, let's start with that game, of course. You heard it right here on KETE. I don't have any information in front of me. I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was busy getting ready for my final run of the year for our Minnesota Vikings. But give us a recap. Give us a score. We know Indiana, a very good team. Give us your thoughts on yesterday's loss to the Hoosiers.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game. I thought that the Gophers played well in the game. The largest margin was right at the end. They lost by 13, and they were down 12 early in the second half, rallied to take the lead. I think it was 51-50 was the last time the Gophers led. And, I think this could be, that this is one of those things. The Gophers, we know, don't have a lot of depth. They're counting basically on seven guys. And I do think that they, at a time when it's a grinding kind of game, they missed a lot of, they went through two cold spells, one in each half. And when you're limited with numbers, and frankly, there's still a bit of a talent gap. I mean, there's a reason that a lot of people pick the Gophers, to finish last in the Big Ten. So you just can't afford in Big Ten play a lot of dry spells. And they had a bit of a dry spell in each half, and that spelled the end in terms of that game. And they'll have another challenge on Wednesday. But I thought they played much better. Much more cohesive. They have more cohesiveness, I guess, is the way I'd put it. Peyton Willis and Jamison Battle, who are their two best scorers, had nice games. So, it's one of those, one of those things that they're going to have to really play well, and they can't afford a lot of those lapses, and that's hard because the Big Ten is tough. So we'll see where it all takes them. But I thought they played much more together than they did in that Tuesday night game to Illinois.
Now, Mike, you look at the Big Ten schedule to start with, and this will already be the second time that we're facing Michigan State, correct?
Yeah. The Big Ten did the Gophers no favors in the start of the schedule. There's no easy games. There's no doubt about that. Maryland fired its coach earlier in the year, but, they gave Wisconsin all it wanted. They've got a couple wins in the Big Ten. They've got a lot of talent, clearly. So, that's going to be a hard game whenever that happens. Iowa's kind of a middle-of-the-road team, but, that's the next home game for Minnesota. That will come Sunday. But that's clearly not a gimme. Rutgers has played well. They already have a win over Purdue and a win over Michigan, and they just blew out Nebraska in a big way. Penn State gave Purdue all it wanted. Penn State has a win against this Indiana team. So, you're looking through. Northwestern has played a couple of tough battles. They gave Ohio State a good game. They gave Michigan State a good game. So, up and down the Big Ten, there are no easy ones. That said, generally, when the season started, people thought Michigan State, Illinois, and Ohio State were probably the favorites, right? And when you look at the Gophers' first five games, four of those five games have come against those teams, twice Michigan State, once at Michigan, home against Illinois. Those were kind of the favorites. Purdue, of course, is in that mix, and the Gophers don't have Purdue yet. And then a road game at Assembly Hall is not a picnic. There's no question about that, so they got that one. So, again, I preface that by saying there are no gimmies. There are no easy ones. But, the Gophers have not yet played any of that group of teams where you would hope to try to accumulate some wins. And that's not to say you can't upset somebody. They already have that with the road win at Michigan. So, hopefully they can tag a couple more of those before the end of the year as well.
Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE. Gophers at Michigan State coming up on Wednesday night. We'll have that game for you right here on KATE. Well, let's talk about breaking news this morning. And I do have to say this right off the bat. My brother texted me. He wanted to make sure the Aflag runners' jobs were secure, that there was no pink slips given out for the Aflag guys today. as we know right now, we're still safe. But under a new GM, anything's possible. But I think we're safe.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully they, you know, hopefully you know they know the operation that you guys are running is you know, very high level, and they don't need to make any changes there. You know, that's the hope.
I would stick with us. I would stick with us. But this morning, again, Mike Zimmer gone, Rick Spielman gone. Your initial reaction, I was kind of hoping that they'd give everybody maybe one more year dealing with injuries and COVID this year. Obviously, that's not the case. The Zimmer firing, I don't think, surprises anyone. The Rick Spielman firing might be something that some thought maybe they'd keep him. What are your initial thoughts when you heard the news this morning?
Yeah, you know, not hugely surprised. I mean, obviously, it looked like it was coming. There was a lot of reports out that Zimmer for sure was probably going to be relieved of his coaching duties. And I guess my assessment or my thought is that, you know, that it's okay. You hate for anyone to lose their job. That said, you know, in these high-level positions, you know, the walk-away money is money that we'd all love to have. So from that standpoint, it's hard to feel sorry for them. It's the profession they chose and blah, 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 all of that. That said, it still involves people, and so you feel for them, right? You know, they're pouring their heart and their soul, and they this is basically their life, those guys. And then, you know, now it probably, as you mentioned in a joking fashion, it probably won't trickle down to the flag runners, but this will trickle down to some people who I would say are probably more, you know, middle-class football people, where that could have a factor, right? And so from that standpoint, if that, you know, if people lose their job, because, look, a new regime's going to come in, and oftentimes they'll want their new people in their building, we're not talking about, you know, $7 or $8 or $10 million coaching salary. We're talking, you know, somebody that, you know, just making a decent living, and now they're going to need to look for new work. So it impacts people. So the human side of it is can be heartbreaking for a lot. That said,
absolutely,
the football side,
absolutely,
it is the business. I think it's probably the right call. I think that, you know, when you look at it, sometimes when you fire a coach, it doesn't mean he's a bad coach. Like, it looks to me like that, you know, you look at what Joe Judge has done with the Giants, right? And I mean, he's got to get fired, right? And it looks like he just was in over his head. Zimmer clearly was not in over his head. He's going to get a job probably as a defensive coordinator in, you know, a couple of weeks someplace. Spielman's going to get a job if he wants to keep working in football someplace in some capacity. So these guys will work again. It doesn't mean they're incompetent. But that said, you know, you get a certain amount of time. And I think in this case, this market grew increasingly impatient, and I don't blame them. You and I talked about it all season. This was one of the weird years that, you know, it did not seem to be an enjoyable team to watch, and I think that created this environment and this almost toxic nature. And I think at some point you're just better off moving on. You know, just an amicable divorce. It's okay. Both sides agree. Hey, time to move. I shouldn't say both sides agree, but both sides can leave each other with their head held high and say, hey, we're just going to get a fresh start all the way around. And so I think that's where they're headed. I think in Zimmer's case, he missed the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. And that's nowadays enough to let you lose your job. In Spielman's case, it's an interesting, he's got an interesting dynamic because, I think I saw even over the weekend a story that, his hit rate, and I forget how they define the hit rate in terms of draft picks, was actually a little bit above league average. So he's better than most of his counterparts in terms of draft picks that hit, that contribute, that make Pro Bowls, all that stuff. But the glaring issue for him is he was never really able to land what we call a franchise quarterback through the draft. He swung and missed a few times there. The Kirk Cousins signing statistically has been really good. Kirk Cousins has done well. He's exactly the guy that they thought they'd get, or at least should have expected to get. That said, the expectations were increased because of the salary, and that was a tough signing then when you look at it. You're going to pay a guy that much money, and you miss the playoffs, you know, in all but one of those years so far. That's a tough one. And then he addressed the offensive line over the years. I mean, remember they drafted Matt Khalil with, what, the 4th or 5th overall pick? I forget now. He had a great rookie year, then fell off the face of the earth. They've been investing middle-round picks in the offensive line for a while. They put a first-round pick in the left tackle. this year. So I do see a lot of people saying, well, he ignored the offensive line. That's not true. And they spent some money as well. They went out and got now the name's escaping me. The guy from Detroit played at Iowa, not Belaga, but the other guy from Iowa. I forget his kid from South Dakota. Say again?
Yeah, I can't think of his name either.
Yeah. Anyway, he they went and paid big money for him. They got Remmers. They've spent draft picks. They've used a first on their center. So I don't think that he's ignored the position. I think they've just swung and missed a few times at the position. And right now, offensive line play is hard, and actually this year the offensive line has been okay. But I think those are the two glaring spots. They couldn't land a quarterback in the draft that was going to be a franchise-type quarterback. And not a lot of guys do, but he's been here a long time. And then the other situation was the offensive line. While he did commit resources to it, they never could get that short up to the point at which it was effective in pass blocking, especially. So it's time to move on. I did see another stat I thought was interesting. Aaron, when he got to Minnesota, when was it, the early to mid-2000s, he was not the GM to start. They kind of had that triangle of authority or whatever they called it. But since he's arrived at Minnesota, and this isn't a statement, frankly, on him, the Vikings have been one of those franchises that's been just good enough to normally not get a great position in the draft, and just bad enough to never really contend for a Super Bowl. They made it to two championship games, and I was stunned by this stat, and I don't have it off the top of my head all the teams, but since his arrival in Minnesota, since Spielman's arrival in Minnesota, every team in the NFC has made the Super Bowl except four. That's it. The Vikings, I'm trying to remember, I think it was the Vikings, Washington, Dallas, and Detroit. I want to say those are the four.
Really?
That's staggering to me, right? When you think of everyone else, Tampa Bay's made it a couple times. Obviously the Packers have made it. The Bears have made it. Since Spielman got to Minnesota, I believe he got here in 2004, I want to say. At the end of the day, they've all had their chance. Obviously the goal is to get to the Super Bowl. You'd love to win it. And that will now fall into the hands of somebody else to try to accomplish that in the head coaching and GM role.
Mike Grimm, Monday here on KETE. And Mike, before I let you go, so Spielman's out, Zimmer's out. The third, I guess, portion of is he coming back or no, and this won't be decided anytime soon, is Kirk Cousins with 1 year left on his contract. And you mentioned you bring in a new GM, you bring in a new head coach. Maybe they want to go find their quarterback, their guy that they put their name on. The problem is, if you trade Cousins, I think you're going to have to take somebody else's quarterback back. So no matter what you do, I think it's going to be impossible to trade Cousins and get just pieces back and then go sign a free agent quarterback. I think no matter if you do trade Cousins, somebody else is coming back in that trade. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, and there could be some opportunity out there. Somebody way smarter than me, but I think that will be the next decision, and that could play out in the summer, right? That doesn't have to happen tomorrow. And once all these new people, because man, I mean, there's guys dropping like flies as there always are the last or the Monday after the last regular season Sunday. Bears are looking for a new coach. Dolphins are looking for a new coach. Yep. Raiders are potentially looking for a new coach. We'll see what they do in the playoffs. If that guy makes a run, it's going to be hard to try to replace him. But and there's others. I'm not remembering them all off the top of my head. But once everything gets in place, there might be some landing spots. What's Pittsburgh going to do without Ben Roethlisberger? He's retiring. What does Cleveland want to do? They've got Kevin Stefanski, who clearly knows, what knows about Kirk Cousins. I think they had a good relationship when he was here. They're kind of soured on Baker Mayfield. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff against the wall. Is that a potential fit? Is there a potential trade there? And Baker Mayfield had to play through that left non-throwing shoulder injury. I don't know. And I think he's due about half of what Cousins is due next year. So, and it's a last year, so he would be on a prove-it kind of a year. Maybe that's a match. I don't know, and I don't know if fans would say, yeah, we want Baker Mayfield any more than they want Kirk Cousins, And yeah. As I said earlier, Cousins has put up really good numbers, but just hasn't elevated the play of everybody else to the point where, you can get through some of the injuries and some of the other things where look, Rodgers is a once-in-a-generation type guy. There's only a few guys like that in the history of the game where it seems the offensive line crumbles around him with injuries and receiving corps gets injured, he just keeps, you know, putting up 13 in three seasons. So it's probably not fair for Cousins. It's not his fault that they keep shoveling money, you know, by the dump truck full his way. But that's kind of how he's judged, because he's paid so much, even though he puts up good numbers. So I don't know what the answer will be with him. If he's back, that's okay. It's hard, though, to construct the rest of the roster when so much money's taken up that way. But that's not the only team that has that issue, and other teams that have had that issue have gone on and won stuff. So we'll see. We'll see where it heads. But, you know, I think it'll be an interesting and in a weird way, you know, after having said what I said early, you know, that you feel for the people that lose their jobs. That nobody likes to be told they're not wanted anymore. There's also certainly some excitement here, right? Who's the next guy going to be?
Correct,
who's the next GM going to be? What kind of breath of fresh air? Like, you know, it seems that the pattern is always if you hire a defensive-minded coach and it doesn't work out however long it takes, then you go back with an offensive-minded coach. And the Vikings have done that over the years. And we'll see. That would then probably tell us that the head coach the next time around might be an offensive-minded guy.
Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE, voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football, and of course the sports director, Minnesota News Network. Mike, thank you so much for the time, and we'll hear from you on Wednesday when the Gophers are in East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Like always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, look forward to it, Aaron. Thank you.